Blog Talk Radio.
This is Fernell Hewing calling to you from Whitewater, Wisconsin, saying, "Behold your God, let God arise, and let his enemies be scattered all around you, in your life, and in your affairs, and your businesses. When God arise, the enemy will be scattered." So we are praying and decreeing that the Lord wants us to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying tonight, so that as we gather together in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, and our King, we will then hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to and for the church. And he calls us to listen very carefully to what he wants to say to us, because as we listen and as we obey, then the Spirit of the Lord will arise in our lives and our enemies will be scattered. We bless you tonight in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. We bless you. We thank you for listening. And those that are not listening live, you may be listening to us by pulling us up out of the archives later. We bless you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. And so tonight we come to you from Whitewater, Wisconsin. We come believing that the Lord has a special word for all of us, and that he wants us to listen very carefully so that we'll know what to do with that word. We want to start tonight with Dr. Derek coming back to us. I'm so grateful for him and the song, "Behold Your God, Let God Arise, and Let His enemies be scattered, and he will speak peace to his people." He did that song so many years ago, but I remember his testimony about doing that. And the name of that CD, if you ever want to order it from us or from him, it is "He Speaks Peace in the Storm." And I remember him saying that, if you have an experience with God, that's when something that comes out of you has power to it to move the enemy. And so he said, he was going through something with a son, and he just didn't know what to do. And so he said only thing he knew to do was just to worship all night long. He worshiped the Lord all night long, and literally the next day, I think, shortly after that, son turned completely around. He ended up going to Israel, spending time there, and now he is in Dr. Derek's ministry. I was ministering at his church once, and this young man who is his son, that same son, is now the worship leader there. And I'll tell you, he is such a powerful worship leader. God is God is awesome. He meets us where we are. He asks us to come unto him, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly, and I'll give you rest to your soul. And there are a few people who think that when you do that, when you come, that all of your troubles are over, you won't have any problems. You won't. God will have your problems in the middle of his hands, but you'll have to walk through them. And because we are flesh and we are, we might have a little difficulty kind of getting rid of the flesh part so that we can follow God. So tonight we're going to ask Dr. Derek to plead the blood over our program tonight, because we want the blood of Jesus to cover us. We want the blood of Jesus to protect us, and we want you to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church and listen to what he's saying to you. So as the blood covers and the enemy cannot get into disturb the message that the Lord wants to hear, let us let him then plead the blood for us as we go into the next part of it. I believe I have him singing again. If I can't get him, then I'll have to go and let him sing another song. He has such an anointing on his songs. Well, it looks like he's not coming up, so I better try to see, can we get New Church Rising? Because if we can't get New Church Rising,
hallelujah. Come on, God is raising up a new church. Are you a part of that church? The saints movement. Come on, hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. The Lord is raising up a brand new breed who will walk and talk like Abraham. Can you hear it? Come on, rise up and
so grateful for Prophet Dean Mitchum and that song. We didn't get Dr. Derek up, but he's just as special as Dr. Derek is for us in these end times. They're both psalmists that really opens the heavens for the king to come in. And we believe that when we hear them releasing the psalms or whatever God is giving them, that God is prophesying that he's coming in. So we believe that there is a new church arising, and he wants it to arise in us. Want to look back in our study tonight. We were looking at the book of Matthew, and I'm so grateful for the Word of God. I hope you are grateful for the Word of God. You should be grateful for the Word of God, because without the Word of God, there is no life in the earth. The Word is life, and the Word is light, because the Word is Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ had not come, then there would be no life in the earth. I was looking back at these chapters we've come through, chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and I was getting ready to go to 7, although we have been backtracking a bit, because we're really not about trying to really rush through and finish. We want to enter in to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us in every chapter. I since I've said this before, it seems that in chapter 1, when Jesus came on the scene, it was like boots on the ground, and he was saying to us, I'm here, I'm in your midst, I'm walking with you, I'm talking to you, I'm talking to you directly, I'm not talking to you as a mass group, although I'm talking to the masses, but I want you to hear me, and I want you to know me. We heard the same truth in Hebrews 1 in times past. We spoke to the fathers by the prophets, but we're now speaking to you by my son Jesus. In that particular instance, in Hebrews 1, Jesus Christ had risen, and now he was sitting on the right hand of the throne of God, and he was forever living to make intercession for us. But what he was doing sitting in that particular position, he was not boots on the ground now. He was in heaven by the Father, and he, because of the price that he had paid, he could work in us and work through us and work out of us what he was calling us to do. When he came in Matthew, he came as the man, he came as a God-man, and he walked and he lived and he moved on earth with man, and he was telling man how to bring the kingdom into their heart and how to walk out the kingdom on earth by being in their heart as it is in heaven. And so here we are, and I was looking at Matthew, and literally the first chapter gave us his birth and the fact that he did come and all, and we needed to know that. We needed to stay there because Jesus needs to be birthed in us. The Spirit of the Lord needs to bring us into the new birth. And I believe, because I started looking through and I noticed that in the book of John, he comes to us, the writer of John comes to us in chapter 3, and he tells us you must be born again. And I wondered, why is there no reference anywhere in Matthew that you must be born again? As a matter of fact, John is the one that talked about the new birth, and the other gospel writers did not say nearly as much as John. And John didn't say a lot about it, but he did say, you must be born again. Unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. So he put some emphasis there. But here comes Jesus in Matthew, and I'm saying, God, why didn't you say something in Matthew about the new birth? Because we know, you know, that one must be born again in order to walk out what you tell them on earth. You see, and so and you might get a different revelation from God on this, and I hope you do, but I'm telling you the revelation that came to me, because I needed an answer to that question. The reason I needed an answer to the question, he said in Matthew, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And so then with my practical experience and with experience with others, I know that there are so many things we have in our heart to do. We want to do what God says, but it just doesn't seem like old ways and the old heart issues get in the way. So why didn't you say anything about being born again? Well, then I went back to chapter 1, and I hope you forgive me for keep going back and forth, but I want to enter in the Word of God to live it. I want it to be in me. I want it to be a living testament in me, and I want it to be a living testament in you. I want it to be more than just something you know in your head and something you think you understand. I want the Holy Spirit to explain it to you, as I've shared with my students in the School of Ministry, that if you read a scripture, you read a verse, behind that verse is the Spirit of the Lord speaking to you, so you don't read it as though you're reading a newspaper, reading a novel. You read that verse, or you read several verses, you think on it, and then you go back and you talk to the Lord about it. You ask him to explain it, or open it up, or to help you to enter into it, or help you to understand it. But then while you're doing that, the Spirit of the Lord is doing as it did in the Genesis, when it said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters, the face of the deep, and the Lord said, let there be light, and the light burst forth on the earth. And I believe what the Spirit was doing, it was already there, but it was shaping it and bringing it into light, and so that it could become light, and then from light, he began to build after that. And I think the Word of God is just that way. I think when we read it with our understanding and move on, it has not literally opened up to us what God is saying to us behind that word. And so I've been so serious about that. When in our School of Ministry, Ephesians is our main book, and I've always told the students, just read a verse or two, maybe three, go back and think on it. A lot of people say meditate, same thing. And then as you're looking at it and thinking on it, I say even sometimes begin to pray over it and pray, and then as you go back and read it again, and then pray and ask the Lord to give you his word, explain to you what he's saying, or help you to get into it. And so for that reason, if you just read the word, you may not understand. So I look back in Matthew and I say, God, what's the difference in Matthew and John? Because I love John. John is such a special book. Our local church, the Firstborn, is and with our Elder Frieda, is really working that through now. And they're taking it precept upon precept. They've been in it pretty long. And I asked them this past weekend, where are you? And they said, we're just in chapter 4. And so if they were just reading it, they probably would have been a long ways, more past chapter 4, but they're trying to get it into themselves, and they're trying to get into it so that they can live it, that the king, see, the word is the kingdom of heaven on earth. The word has come down, like Jesus comes down. He is the word. He's boots on the ground, but he comes down from heaven to bring us from what's up there. And so as a result of that, we take time with the word, and we don't understand it. Some people say, oh, I've read that before. Oh, I understand what it means. Or they set a whole, an entire denomination around that one word, and that's okay. They can do that. But what I'm saying is, what about living it out? So in asking that question and waiting for an answer, because I want to talk about the new birth tonight. I want to talk about being born again, because I know there needs to be a new birth in us in order to live the scriptures, understand the scriptures, to walk it out. And I know also that many in the church have not been born again. And I know also those that have been born again don't know what that means to them. And so why does not Matthew say anything about it? And then he goes on to tell us about the Beatitudes, having a pure heart. He talks about blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are they that mourn, so they shall be comforted. Ye are the light of the world. How can we be all these when my heart hasn't changed? And because I know that there's a process of regeneration that must take place in order for me to live this out. I know that for me. Maybe others can live it out without the process of regeneration. So these are the questions, saints, that I've been asking of the Lord, because, you know, I want to tell you why I'm asking, and I want you to come into agreement with God with this. We are at a very critical time in our walk with God. We cannot live off of what we knew yesterday. We cannot live off of what we think. We cannot live off what we've heard, what others have lived off of. And why can't we? When the Jesus came in the earth in Matthew 1, it was different. And he came to the same people that had walked through the Old Testament times and understood the law, had lived the law, had walked in the law. Here Jesus comes in, and he gives them a whole new way of life. And they can't live it because they're used to the law, but, of course, they had to live it because things had changed. And they had learned enough of the law that when Jesus said in Matthew 5, he did not come to do away with the law, but to fulfill the law. So he didn't leave it there. But here he's bringing them this spiritual walk. He and John the Baptist comes in to bring the Spirit in. And so the law is covering everything there. Now, I think we're at the same place. I think we're at this place, if you think about it, where the church has learned so much. We have great methods of communication. Television is everywhere. You can go to YouTube and pick up a sermon any day. You can turn a blog on. You can turn me on and hear. You can go to a big conference and you can hear powerful speakers, and they have studied and they have walked with God, and God has given them new revelation. And so then you go to the place where you start looking at the history of the church, and you see the church has come through the place where God established healing in the church, deliverance in the church, inner healing in the church. You see, having established the fivefold ministries, and he has apostles now and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. And then you have the prophetic literally covering the earth, where we all can prophesy. We have the Holy Ghost. And so with all of that foundation, that means God has moved to another place. We can't stay where we were and believe that God is going to respond as he did yesterday. So he calls us into a new place when we stepped into Matthew. And so, and just like he was calling the Jews into another place, because the law was very well established for them, and they knew it, they lived it, they walk in it. For us, the Holy Ghost is established in many places. We live in powerful moves of God. We have great churches. So what do we do? Do we die here? Do we just let this be what we're to be? And I ask the question, and I want you to think about it. What about you personally? What about me personally? I want more. Don't you want more? But if I get more, I can't get more just looking at all the things I already know and keep doing it over again. So what happened? I think that's what happened when Jesus stepped on the scene. It was a new day. It was a new beginning. It was a time for the Spirit of the Lord then to enter the earth. And that's why I ask him, why didn't you mention being born again? John did. And so I go back to Matthew 1. And the first thing we see in Matthew 1, we saw the begets. And in the begets, God presented himself to show that he was not going to leave anything missing, and he was going to bring his son in the earth so that his son then could save his people. And so what did that do with the new birth? Well, I believe that when he presented us Jesus in chapter 1, that he was saying, as he said, Mary was If you understand Matthew, and we go back to Matthew, Mary and Joseph was betrothed. They had not come together. So Mary received Jesus by the Holy Ghost, and she was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. And then she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people. Now, all of this was done by that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the Lord before. So you see, I think it was a sign to us that rather than telling us about being born again, that we had to receive Jesus. And in order to receive Jesus, then it was not a in order to receive the life of God, we had to receive Jesus. Then I asked God another question, but you didn't tell me how. I like for people to tell me how. I could understand that if I look at Matthew 1 and see how Jesus came in the earth by the Holy Ghost, and he overshadowed Mary, and he came into Mary by the Holy Ghost, then you have to tell me something else then. What else do I need to know? And so he didn't bypass chapter 2, because chapter 2 tells us how careful he was to protect anything that would have kept Jesus from coming alive. And to me, that says that once you receive and made a decision that you want Jesus to come into your life and you want him to save you from sin, then you have to be very careful that you keep that, that you keep the promise you made, that you be very careful that you don't do anything that will cause him to leave. And I think it was so symbolic. I think Matthew was rather symbolic. But what happens, Lord? I can't always look at the symbols. So what do you want me to do to know what this is that I can't do in the natural? But you're telling me to do it, and my spirit is natural. Now, you know, we all have a natural spirit. We all have a human spirit. And that human spirit is the same spirit that God gave us. And you remember in Genesis when it said God blew his breath into man, and man became a living soul. And so he gave us the spirit. But I also know, and the church has taught and is truth, and the gospels tell us, that then the Holy Spirit has to come into this human spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes in, that's when we then receive a new birth in Christ. I said, Lord, you didn't explain that clearly in Matthew. I need a clearer explanation. And so he said, it was there. If you receive what opened up in Matthew first, there was a purpose of Jesus coming. He came to save his people. He came to save them from sin. I gave you a symbol to show you that every generation from Abraham to Jesus had one person or some persons that was a sign or appointed by God to open the way for the next generation. And then I gave you another sign, how Jesus came by the Holy Ghost. He didn't come by the will of man, but by the Holy Ghost to save his people. And so, first of all, the first part of it was to say and ask yourself, are you the one in your generation that the Lord wants to assign to save your people? And that if you are the one, then you must say yes to that. And you know, this is a program on family and ascension. You must say yes to that, because you got to position yourself for me to give you the prize of my son to walk out then what you're called to do. You see, Jesus came to save his people. So he had to have an assignment for a purpose before he could start walking out and walking through to fulfill that assignment. Now, this may be far-fetched to you saints, but please forgive me. I believe we have to really have a commitment to the assignment for Jesus' purpose for coming, for us to enter into the fullness of the purpose of his coming. I believe when Matthew opened up, showing us the begets, it was to show us the purpose for his coming. The purpose was so that God would not have a generation lost. He did not lose a generation from Abraham all the way down till he got to where he sent his son, so that he would not have any generation lost on our part. That mankind would, the way would be open for mankind to come to him. So I think what he was saying to us in the begets is that, are you the one called to save your family? Are you the one called to be sure that not one in your generation is lost, or that your generation has a witness for the next generation? And I believe if you could grasp that would be the purpose. Once he gave us that in the first part of Matthew 1, and if one would say yes to it, you see, then he began to show after that that Jesus then was conceived by the Holy Ghost, and he came and Mary could bring forth a son to save his people. So once we say yes to it, then that yes would bring us to the place where God could then give us his son. His son could be come into our lives, and then and by the Holy Ghost, and by coming into our lives by the Holy Ghost, then we would be the one that God would use to bring many souls into the kingdom, that would bring many souls in our family into the kingdom. Once we made that commitment and that positioning with God, listen, saints, then we could look at the other chapters. We look at chapter 3 then, and it said in chapter 3, that John the Baptist came to open the way for Jesus to come. Well, he wants us to open the way by letting him come in. So there's something very significant and connected to the Holy Ghost and to the new birth and to the birth of Jesus in us. I'm going to go back to that in a minute. But you notice that once John comes in and he's working with people that was steeped in the law, but all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord was drawing them to John so that they could be baptized. And the Spirit of the Lord was not only drawing them, but ministering to them. And I believe the first evidence that I see that God was speaking to us clearly, because he was using this as a symbol in John, in Matthew 3, when he said, and now, verse 10, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and can't come into the, and cast into the fire. I'm sorry. And I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. I really believe if we make that connection to God, that I am here doing what you want me to do, and I'm the one, I will say yes to your putting your finger on me. And so now, in order for that to happen, then he starts telling us, and you say, but you, if you don't have the Spirit in you, what can you do that? You can certainly be obedient. And he says, I indeed baptize you with fire unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire, whose fan is in his hand. And I believe that at that point that the Lord wants to baptize the everyone who made the covenant. I'm going to be the one that God is assigning to bring my family in. You know, it was so interesting. I'm still questioning, not questioning the Bible, but I'm asking for myself, because I need to understand what prompts me to move out of the flesh into the spirit. Because flesh does not want to change, and flesh does not want to get up and do anything different. Flesh, and if flesh has a lot of knowledge, head knowledge, and is very intellectual, flesh loves to deal with that and says, okay. But I know that there's a level of the Holy Spirit that he wants to speak that's different from any level that my academic and intellectual knowledge will tell me. And I need to understand this new birth process. And how, and you know, if you want to tell the world that you can understand the Bible, if you want to try to interpret it with your natural mind, you can some things, but there are many things only God will open up to you, and he'll open up to you, and I learned this the hard way, when you are in a position with him and in a covenant with him for something. When you are in covenant for something and you have established yourself through some pressure that you've gone through, that's when truth open up. And so for that reason, I finally got it. I think I got it because some things that are damaging to the church, I believe, is that we must put the Holy Ghost in his place because he is the one who works the works of God in the earth. And so if we try to put him aside and not deal with the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit and try to intellectualize what to do next, we will lose it. It is the Holy Spirit that is God of truth. And so in asking these questions, saints, and you might have the answer already, it was important for me to get into a place that I understood, not understood, but I could live this out. And I really wanted the Lord to help me to understand. And I think chapter 3 of Matthew is the most critical chapter there is, because it's the chapter that literally prepared us for the coming of Jesus in chapter 4, and then prepared us for the going on for him to tell us how to live. And so let's look at, and I've said this so many times that I'm going back to it, putting an axe to the root of the tree. I say the only way we can do anything there is to begin to read that scripture and ask the Lord to please put an axe to the root of that tree that you're talking about in me. I might want to ask the Lord, what is that tree? But I believe that tree is myself. I think that's old self, want to have self-way. So I want to ask him. I want to pray the scriptures. I want you to learn how to pray the word of God for the spirit to come upon the word of God and do what the word of God is said to do. And so if he says to put an axe to the root of the tree, if I pray that scripture, I believe the Lord by his spirit would find that tree. And then it says, after that, and now also the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. But I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And I believe that's when the Lord really put a marker there for us to see that as we ask him and as we allow him to put an axe to the root of the tree that's in us, and I really believe that tree is old self and self ways, that then as we pray it, that then the Lord then will come in. And you see, John was baptized into repentance. Well, many of us have been baptized because we repented of living our own lives. But where we're going now, we need a greater power, and we need to really have the Holy Ghost and fire. Well, you know, the Lord is so good, and I always say I'm so grateful that every time I get stuck with a question, and the Lord will say to me, well, you've already written about it. And I said, but Lord, where? And I've written so many books, as people laugh when I say, you know, I wrote a book on that. And one day they'll stop laughing because every one of my books are written for to solve something that they need. But I wrote a book on getting to know the Holy Spirit and preparing for the Holy Ghost baptism with fire. And so we've used this book many times. It's been, probably was the first printing was 1996, a second printing in 2000, and a third printing in 2010. So it's been around. But what the Lord showed me, and I really had not seen it before, that the first part of this book, although it is about the Holy Ghost and fire, and so much of the Holy Ghost has been misused and misunderstood for everything but for what he came for. And there are so many people that still don't want to put him in his place. You still sometimes people have to be careful to say they don't believe in the Holy Ghost because they equate the Holy Ghost with speaking in tongues. And so if you speak in tongues, there's something wrong with you. If you believe in the Holy Ghost, you must be a holy roller. All these are negative things that the devil has put there so that the Spirit of the living God, the same Holy Ghost that overshadowed Mary and brought forth Jesus in her womb, is waiting to come in and overshadow us, that tree, that root of that tree, and baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire to burn up the chaff of the things that we don't want to use. And so the Lord directed me back to my book, and I looked at it, and interesting enough, chapter 1 and chapter 2 talks about the Holy Spirit enters when one is born again of the Spirit of the living God. And I gave in two chapters a deep understanding of the Holy Spirit because it is in connection to being born again. And as you know, and I believe every one of my listeners know this, you must be born again. That's what John says. In order to see the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So we can't take the word out and throw it away because we don't believe in the Holy Ghost. Surely we've had some people that have abused the Holy Spirit and they've misused it, and it has directed people to turn against it. But in my book, I wrote why and how everyone must be born again. So the Creator God did not give up on his desire to be one with mankind, his creation. He wanted man and to be filled with the Spirit. God's Spirit is light and life and love. God wanted men to have the life of God inside of him so that man would walk in the life, the light, and the love of God. Man had to be born again of God's Spirit. That is the only way man could fellowship with his God. It is the only way man and God could commune, and that is spirit to spirit. Now, you see, sometimes we want some portions of God, but we don't want the other portion. And I might admit that sometimes people have turned people against God because of foolish actions or something, some fleshy way that they have allowed the Holy Ghost in their lives. But because of man's disobedience, God's Spirit left man, man died, and man's communication with God ended. So because man was dead to God, man was captured by Satan, got lost in the world of sin and evil, and when one man's spirit was close to God, man was cut off from God. God then sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to restore mankind to man's rightful place with God. But man had to be born again of the Spirit of the living God. And I explained that, and then I drew pictures to show it, and I believe if you would stop trying to give people your experience and just let the Word speak, I think the Holy Spirit want to come into man, want man to be born of the Spirit of God, because it is God's will, it is God's wish, and I believe that he's waiting. And so because of the righteousness that is right standing of Jesus Christ, who is the embodiment of God himself and God's Spirit, Jesus could be the propitiation for man's sin. And so I don't believe, and one of the things that as I questioned God about, and I wasn't questioning God, please forgive me, as I was trying to find out, God, how do I know that I know that I must be born again. I know that I have been born again. Because when you're born again, your spirit is regenerated, and the Holy Spirit then will open up Christ to you. The Christ in you is the hope of glory. But I know also that there are many in the church and many who love the Lord, many who meet God and pray, that they do not know whether they've been born again. If they've been born again, they don't know what that means. Many come to church and people start teaching the jargon of the church, or the higher level of the church, or the prophetic of the church, and here are these people sitting there that hadn't even been born again, and so all of a sudden they began to act like, think that they have what the other person have, and they begin to wonder, why don't they have victory? Well, you see, they don't have victory because they need to be born again, and unfortunately, we have too few new members class teaching the new birth. I remember when I first wrote this book many years ago, I didn't know why I was writing so much about the new birth, giving pictures about the new birth and how the Holy Spirit comes in and giving the Holy Spirit his place. There's nothing in this first part about speaking in tongues, just what happens when one is born again. I talk about what happens, and I talk about the new birth ushers in the Holy Spirit. And then in chapter 2, I talk about the Holy Spirit comes from the Lord and ushers us into the presence of the Lord, and I spent a lot of time in that chapter talking about the fullness of time has come for the outpouring of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lifts the believer into the Father's presence, and the Holy Spirit comes from the Father, and I give such a just a practical way to see the Holy Spirit comes from the glorified Son, and the Holy Spirit brings in God's authority and power, and the Holy Spirit comes from the inner life of God, and the Holy Spirit brings a dimension of glory. I wanted to present the Holy Spirit not as someone to be feared or to run away from, but someone that would bring us into the fullness of God. And then after saying all of that, I talk about another work wrought by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit falls upon the believer when the believer is ready. And so I put it in that way, and you know what came to me as I was doing this? So often, those of us that are teachers do not give room for the Holy Spirit to do his work. We want to teach what we know. And so I would want to suggest to you, if you're leading someone to the Lord, and you want, and you can, and the way this book is written, you can lead them straight from the unsaved position into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. At one place just before, we have a list of about, I don't know how many, it looks like about 25 of what the Holy Spirit accomplishes in the believer. And I suggest that if you had someone that you wanted to lead to the Lord and you didn't know how to do it, if you get this book and just sit down and the two of you just read it together. You read a paragraph, they read a paragraph. And you might not read but a couple pages, but it's so clearly laid out until the Holy Spirit would bring them into it. One thing I will caution you with, though, so often we drive the Holy Spirit out of our teaching when we do this, because instead of just letting the word speak to the person and letting the Holy Spirit draw them, we put in our part, you know, sometime ourself and sometime our experiences and sometime our understanding when it's not necessary. I always tell my people a lot of time when they use my book, why don't you just sit down and read the book? Sometime if you, even in teaching a class from my book, why don't you just read a paragraph? Then pray the paragraph out loud. Or even just read. You read a paragraph and let the other person read the paragraph out loud. Then you read a paragraph and let the other person read it out loud. And if you let the Holy Spirit, and then when you finish reading, just let's pray that the Lord would give us a deeper understanding of that. And if you let the Holy Spirit do his work, you won't have to get in his way, you see, because when you put your part in, you pull the Spirit back from out of what the person might get from the Holy Spirit. I don't know whether I'm explaining that correctly or not. But what I'm saying, if you look at Matthew, this book is so precious for us at this time. It is precious in so many ways. It's the first book of the New Testament. It is when Jesus come to earth and walk out the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. It is when Jesus comes to us to tell us how to live out the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Now, he was telling us all of this in chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6. We just finished chapter 6. If you look at chapter 6, it's hard to say, how can you love your enemies? How can you forgive those that have misused you? And he warned us so much, and he was warning us about against pride when he said, don't pray so man could hear you. When you fast, don't let people know. And so this is all completely contrary to human nature. How can you do that unless the Holy Spirit has done a work in you, and that Holy Spirit has to come in you and live in you? Nowhere did we say anything in here about speaking in tongues, because tongues is not what the Holy Spirit is all about. Now, there's one thing about speaking in tongues you need to know, and don't be afraid of it, and don't reject it, because what happens when the Holy Spirit baptism come in, and he baptizes you, that is, he does not give you information or give you a little bit that you can work out. John said, he that cometh after me will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. So what he was saying was, he comes in and he takes full possession. Now, when he takes full possession of your spirit, and he fills up your spirit to the fullest, then, of course, he gives you a new language. It is the language of the Spirit. And that language takes over your speech box. And we have a speech box that, as I'm speaking, there's a box there that these words come through. When the Holy Spirit fills you to the fullest, it takes over your speech box. And when it takes over your speech box, what speaking in tongues is, as people want to put it, is nothing but the language of the Spirit speaking. The Bible tells us that we don't always know how to pray, but the Spirit knows, and he prays with groanings which we do not understand, and he who searches the heart knows the mind of the Spirit. So what happens is, when you pray in your prayer language, it's a language of prayer. It means that you don't understand it. There are things that you want to communicate in the Spirit that is far removed from your natural language, and so the Holy Spirit uses your speech box to speak those words to the Lord. It's great for prayer. It's for ministry. You know, I know in our early ministry of inner healing, I could lay hands on people, and I would begin to pray in a language that I did not understand, and halfway through it, I would sometimes begin to cry, and I would say, please forgive me, I didn't know. Now, buried in that child's heart, you know, the world calls our subconscious, but it's a spirit mind that when things happen to us, we push it down into our spirit mind. And so the Holy Spirit knows that it's there. And as you begin to pray for someone, you might pray words that don't touch that. But when you pray in your heavenly language, it's such a beautiful language. It's a language of the, not of the soul, but of the Spirit. And when you pray in that language, the Holy Spirit then begins to pray that, tell the Father what's on your heart. Someone asked me, well, how do I receive the Holy Spirit? How do I know that I'm born again? What do I do to receive this language? I said, the most important thing is you're not trying to receive a language. You're trying to receive Jesus, and you're trying to receive his Spirit to fill you to the fullest. And the best thing I can tell you, if you don't know how to help people there, if you're a pastor or you're a minister, or if you have someone that you want to lead to the Holy Spirit, don't be anxious about it. Get a hold of my Holy Ghost and Fire book. And when you get it, and you'll see how simply it is written in chapter 1 and 2, that you can sit and read that with someone, or someone can sit and read it. And then after they see what a beautiful way that the Lord has opened from heaven for us to get to know him and to come into a place with him where we can communicate with him, and he can communicate with us by the Spirit and in the Spirit and through the Spirit. And then when you look at that list of reasons what the Holy Spirit accomplishes in the believer, you will want the Holy Spirit. When you read chapter 2, and Dr. Derek did a song about chapter 2. As a matter of fact, chapter 2 is taken from his song, Communion with the Holy Spirit. And it really led me to see all the blessings that we get from the Holy Spirit. We have that CD, if anybody want to hear his CD on Communion with the Holy Spirit. It's such a beautiful litany about the Holy Spirit. But listen at some of the things the Holy Spirit accomplishes in the believer. It ushers in the spirit of prayer. It brings compassion for souls. It produces power to win. It produces power to resist the devil. The gifts of the Spirit is manifested. It produces the fruit of the Spirit. Now, hear what you're looking at. Those people who are afraid of the Holy Spirit or think that the Holy Spirit is only to speak in tongues, and they don't want to speak in tongues, and they want to run away from anyone who they think might speak in tongues, and they judge anyone, that look at what they're missing, because it's not about speaking in tongues. You see, the baptism of the Holy Spirit ushers power to witness, power to live for God, power to overcome, power to resist Satan, you see, and power to be effective and to perform signs and wonders and bring men to Christ. It has strength. It becomes more powerful and skillful in the Word of God. And so I believe that's why sometimes we are weak as Christians and we have so many things overcoming us, because we only want to receive that much of Christ that we can handle and that we can explain and that others will not turn away from us. They don't have to turn away from you. You don't have to be foolish. Holy Spirit is a gentleman. I always caution my people, if you use the Holy Spirit for a show, then he will certainly leave you, because he's not there for you to show off to say you got a new language. This is a precious gift from heaven. It's a gift that not everybody will get unless they get in position with God. And that's why I wrote this book this way, so that people would see the preciousness of this wonderful Spirit and that God sent his Son. See, it is the Spirit of God that came down from heaven to dwell in man. Now, why would you reject that? And then Jesus came, he died, and when the blood was shed, then that eternal Spirit of God from heaven united with the eternal blood so that he could fulfill what Jesus came for. So when we receive the Holy Spirit, the blood of Jesus become active for us against sin. It cleanses us from sin and causes us to live for God. I don't know why I'm teaching on the Holy Spirit tonight. I think many of you already have the Holy Spirit, but I think even all of us need to revisit our salvation from time to time. We need to see what we have. We need to stop abusing it. We need to stop struggling to overcome. Yes, we're going to have problems in earth, but we don't have to be afraid that the Holy Spirit is going to cause us to be looked upon. Even if he does, you know, he's God. The Holy Spirit is God. You know, it is the Spirit of God. And so I welcome you to order this book from us. It is called Getting to Know the Holy Spirit and Preparing for Holy Ghost Fire with Baptism, not just for yourself. Because I think every Christian, and where we are now, and I say we're at a critical time, I think all of us are called to lead our family members to the Lord, to lead someone to the Lord. I believe that we need to have an understanding of what we have, of who we are. We are born, if you're born again, and I hope you are, if you're not born again, you need to get this book. If you're not sure that you've been born again, when you read through this and see the different chapters, I mean the different pictures where I show the Spirit of the Lord, what happens when you're not born again, what happens after you're born again, and when you look at it, it's very practical. It shows body, soul, and spirit. It shows what the body's part of it and the spirit, and it ends up with all men must be born again. And I talk about the new birth means that one received the new resurrected life of Jesus. One receives an impartation of eternal life. One comes to regeneration. You see, this is practical knowledge of what you have. It doesn't mean that you have to know this in order to have it, but you need to know what you have, because you may need be called to explain it to someone who has never been in the church. I always tell my people that we're at such a critical time that there's going to be revival. I believe world revival is going to mean, as Dr. Marcus said when he was on our program, that many will come off the street. Many will come to you and say, what must I do to be born again? What must I do to be saved? What are you going to say? You're going to give them your testimony? Are you going to give them, do you know how to take them to the scriptures and explain it? And I think this book really does do a good job of helping us to revisit our own salvation and then revisit our baptism of the Holy Spirit. Many of you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You just take it for granted. You take for granted that everyone is. Do you know how many in your church has not been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Do you know how many have issues against the Holy Spirit? Have you ever heard a message taught on the Holy Spirit, and people call, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Come, I'm going to lay hands on you so you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We just assume everybody's been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, if they, John tells us in chapter 3 that the one coming, Jesus Christ, that will baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire, he will gather everything into the garner, of the wheat into the garner, and he'll burn up the chaff. He cannot burn up the chaff unless we're born again. Unless then, after we're born again, he began to fill us to the fullest with the Spirit of God, and so full that he began to find things that is absolutely no good, our old ways, our old habits, our old pattern. But because the Holy Spirit and fire has come, then they will be burned up. And so I'll say to anyone who is a minister, who want to teach, who want to help someone to know the Lord, if you get out the way and they're asking you to help them to get to know the Lord, or you want to teach the Holy Spirit, get this book and just read it. You know, have them to read a paragraph or two out loud, though, and you read a paragraph, or have them read the entire thing, and then stop and wait on God and let the Holy Spirit open up their deeper understanding of who God is and who the Holy Spirit is. Now, I'm really supposed to, tonight, I was supposed to go on to chapter 7, because it's my favorite chapter in Matthew, and it is my favorite chapter because the Lord gave it to me years ago and said, this chapter is yours, and because we just finished 6. But I guess before we got to 7, the Lord wanted me to go back and talk about those things in Matthew that we're going to live, not just understand it, not just hear it, not just talk about it. I think we all need to ask for a new infilling of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to close with that prayer tonight, that there is a need for an infilling of the Holy Spirit. Father, we've asked, first of all, forgiveness. We ask forgiveness for allowing your precious Holy Spirit that you sent from the portals of heaven in the earth in your Son. And he had to die and his blood shed, that the blood and the Spirit come together and become alive for us. And because of the Holy Spirit, who is in the earth now to fulfill your wishes from heaven and to finish the work of Jesus that he died for. He died, O God, that we might have life and we may have it more abundantly. And the only way we can have life is that we must have an infilling of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I want to pray tonight that even so many of my listeners have been filled with the Holy Spirit, and they speak the heavenly language fluently, and they speak it in war, they speak it in prayer. God, but tonight, we ask for a new infilling. We ask you for new revelation of your Holy Spirit, revelation of our need for more of you, revelation of who you are. And Lord, we have just taken for granted that the Holy Spirit is in us, and we can just, and now we can do what we want to with him. But God, we call on your name tonight. tonight. In the name of Jesus, we ask that the Spirit of the living God would come alive for us, even those of us that are born again and we still not have the Holy Spirit. We ask that the Holy Spirit be released tonight, that people's hearts will open up, and the Spirit of the living God would come in, and they would ask, because our next chapter will say, ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, and knock and the door will be open. So, Lord, prepare them for asking. Prepare them for seeking you. Prepare them, oh God, for knocking at your door. And, Lord, those of us who have been born again and whose heart has been filled with the Spirit, we ask for a new infilling. We ask for a greater infilling for everyone who is filled with the Holy Spirit, that the infilling will come supernaturally so much and in such great power till it will press them out of the way and it will burn up the chaff, oh God, in them, and there will be a new infilling, oh God, that will turn their eyes to heaven, and then you will give them, oh God, new revelation of who you are. Merciful Father, be merciful unto us according to your loving kindness and your tender mercy. Blot out our transgression. Wash us thoroughly from iniquity and cleanse us from sin, because against thee and thee only have we sinned and come short of your glory. And we ask this, Lord, because we know that the Spirit of the living God is going to come into a clean vessel. And Lord, you know that we need some cleansing on the inside. So have mercy on us, Lord. And so when mercy shows up, the blood comes in for the cleansing. And so we're crying out for mercy. We're crying out for a new infilling. We're crying out for a new revelation of the Holy Ghost and fire, Lord. We're crying out, oh God, a new revelation of what it is to be born again. And Lord, those that have not been born again, those that have been doing the work of the church, those that have been in the church and trying to make it and having ups and downs, we ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit to fall upon them, Lord, to fall on them and open them up and give them, oh God, the fire of the Holy Ghost to burn up the chaff, and they can then become a vessel of honor for you. Forgive them, oh God. Forgive those who have rejected the Holy Spirit. Forgive those who have been in churches and the church decide that the church doesn't believe in it and they are afraid to accept it because the church doesn't believe in it. Well, Lord, I'm asking for mercy for them. I was in that same church and you baptized me in the Holy Ghost in the room by myself when I didn't even know what it was because I asked for more of you. So I ask you to baptize them. And not that they are asking, oh God, and they're ashamed of you. They have just been well taught that you were not for today, but you were for the Old Testament, for the New Testament times. Well, Lord, we ask you to prove yourself, manifest yourself with a new baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire for all of my listeners, Lord. Let them be baptized so full of the Holy Ghost and fire that the chaff will be burned up overnight, and they then, oh God, can walk out in the new light of day with the Holy Ghost and fire burning upon them. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I pray that, you know, this book is not just about the Holy Ghost being born again. As a matter of fact, part one talks about the Holy Ghost and being born again, because you need to understand him. But part three of the book is this: the Lord is calling forth ministers of fire. And so in part two, we talk about coming to prepare for Pentecostal fire, for that kind of fire that's going to set you apart for the Lord to do special work with the Holy Ghost. And then part three is a look at the Holy Ghost fruit and works, because he brings in fruit, but he also brings in Holy Ghost words. And then part four talks about the Holy Ghost produces power, and in that Holy Ghost producing power, I talk about the powerful work that one can do when the Holy Ghost comes in, the powerful walk before the Lord. And so I call them the Spirit, the fire baptized, has a different movement on the earth than those who are just born again. And so it's a very comprehensive little book. I call it little because it has only about 130 pages or so, a little over 130 pages. And so each one is power-packed. It has illustrations, and I believe you will be blessed if you really would like to have a copy of this book, you can call our office. It is 262-473-7472. I'll say that again. Our office is 262-473-7472. Our office hours are somewhere between 10 and 5. And so if you don't get us when you're there, just leave it on our answer machine, and I believe the Lord will get me and leave your number. We call you back, and we can get an order. We believe that everyone, even ministers, should have this book in their library. You don't care how much you speak in tongues, how much you fill with the Holy Ghost, I think this will bless your life just to read this and see what you got. Well, Lord, we thank you tonight for those that have been listening. We ask you to bless them eternally. I ask you to bless them in such a way, Lord, that their heart would be ignited with fire for you, that they would want more of you. And, Lord, I pray so tonight that you would be in their lives and in their room and in their car and on their job, and that you would baptize them with the Holy Ghost and fire. And when the fire comes upon them, Lord, that by your Spirit you would turn them toward you in such a way that they will never be the same again, and we thank you for it. And those of you, again, that are afraid, I want you to know that most people are afraid of the baptism. Some people are afraid because they think it's going to make them act foolish. They're going to do some things among intelligent people that will make them make people look down on them. It will not happen. Believe me, I received the Holy Ghost, baptism of the Holy Ghost, when I was working on a PhD degree, and I received it by myself after I started talking to the Lord, and I received it in a way that I was still very much in the professional world. I walked it out in such a way that it made my professional life, it enhanced my professional life, it made it so possible for me to walk through all the things that I had to go through to get a PhD degree. So don't be afraid of it. I just ask you tonight, ask God for more of him, and the more of him is his Holy Spirit, and the greater more is the baptism with fire. Amen. So, Father, we thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. We're saying good night to you. We'll be back with you on Wednesday evening, same time. Maybe we'll get to chapter 7. If you think I'm wasting time, I am following the Holy Ghost. I am following his leadership. He kept saying to me as I was about to come on to get the Holy Ghost book, and I said, what am I going to do with it? I'm not teaching from the Holy Ghost book. And so I didn't get it, and I went and I did some other things, and I read some scriptures, and I did some other things. And so he said, go get the Holy Ghost book. And I said, I'm not going to say anything about the Holy Ghost tonight. And then all of a sudden, just as I sat down in my studio, I picked up the Holy Ghost book. And so I believe he wanted that message for someone. If it wasn't for you, pray that the Lord would give it to the person he wanted to, and it will bring them to the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We say goodnight to you. We'll be back with you on Wednesday, 7 o'clock, Central Standard Time. If you know anyone who needs this message, it is in our archives, and you can have them to pull it up and listen to it. If you know anyone who wants this book, please God give them the directions of how to get it. But most importantly, if you don't have it, you be sure you get it for your library. It is called The Baptism, Getting to Know the Holy Ghost and Preparing for Holy Ghost Baptism with Fire by Pernell H. Hewing. Okay? God bless you. We'll be back with you on Wednesday evening. Good night.